Everybody Can is a conversation about the people and organizations that strengthen our community by volunteering, donating, serving on boards, or sometimes just showing up in micro moments of kindness. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, tenaciously curious and committed to the notion that connecting and serving others provides a space for one to have a sense of purpose and belonging. Now, as volunteers, many of you know that the most impactful resource is not always money. It can be the practice of giving time, ideas, and yes, financial support. Give Jefferson is one of those annual campaigns that facilitates a highly targeted effort, focusing on frontline needs, vetting recipients, while also providing a focal point for donors to cut through the choices with the assurances that their donations are stewarded well. Today, we have with us Jen Kingfisher, Director of Community Partnerships for United Good Neighbors, and Heather Dudley Nolet, a deeply rooted community member, co-founder of CoLab, and the Director of Development for Bayside Housing. Welcome to the program today.
Wonderful to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Missy.
I am so pleased to be talking about this campaign once again. You know, it is an annual campaign with a legacy, and I'm always reminded that we have listeners who have not been here long enough to know a little bit about this. Help unpack this concept of frontline needs and this campaign called Give Jefferson.
Thanks, Missy. Give Jefferson is our annual United Good Neighbors campaign. It's been in Jefferson County for over 65 years. It's looked more or less the same for a lot of that time, where our community comes together to find the resources to help our friends and neighbors in their most basic human needs, like food, shelter, and medical care. A lot of the people that have been around for a while may not recognize the name Give Jefferson, but they probably would recognize the little brochure that comes towards the end of the year in your mailbox. Every household in Jefferson County receives the Give Jefferson brochure. That's one way to connect with the Give Jefferson campaign. Those frontline needs are all these basic things that we all need to survive.
You know, you do have a very robust website page that is super cool in how you can link through that. You know, the distinction about a frontline, you know, it's housing, it's food, it's healthcare, it's family services, education, advocacy, and financial assistance. And I just love it's give hope. And, you know, we are a community that gives of our time and gives of our money. Tell us a little bit about last year's Give Jefferson campaign. When we use the word grant, is there an application process for these recipients?
Yeah. Every year we open up applications to all of the basic human needs organizations that serve Jefferson County and invite them to apply to participate in Give Jefferson. We have a team of people, our community outreach team, that does the vetting on these organizations to assure that every dollar that's donated to those organizations will go towards the basic needs of Jefferson County residents. So we have a team of people out there making sure that we're doing our due diligence on our fabulous organizations in Jefferson County.
On a more granular level, if I was a nonprofit leader or someone on a board and I'm hearing this for the first time, the grant application process begins when and what kind of documentations are needed? I've run across from time to time folks, especially with COVID, where, dang, they just opened up their business too soon and they didn't qualify for any of those funding. So what is required of an organization to be a grant recipient?
Well, that's a great question. United Good Neighbors campaign has a slightly higher bar than some of the other grants that I work with. There is an application process that begins at the end of the summer. Different organizations are going to be submitting different financial information, things like their EIN number or their fiscal sponsor's EIN number, demonstrating that the IRS can count them as a 501c3 nonprofit. So we do need organizations to be their own individual 501c3 or fiscally sponsored by an agency. So that's one thing. If you are out there and you have an organization that's fledgling and you want to participate, please don't hesitate to reach out to me because I want to see new organizations that maybe have been kind of on simmer for a while come to United Good Neighbors. We love connecting youthful nonprofits with different resources that they need. So this is a good place to come, not only for financial support, but all sorts of other nonprofit support. Please feel free to reach out. There are other opportunities as well. If you come on in.
And reaching out to you by what way?
The best way to reach out to me is with my Jefferson Community Foundation email, and that is jen@jcfgives. Now, if you don't remember that, if you go to the Give Jefferson website, givejefferson.org, almost any of those contact us, including the phone number, will eventually lead to me. And I look forward to hearing from all these listeners with their excellent ideas on helping our friends and neighbors in Jefferson County.
Fantastic. There's quite a volume of nonprofit organizations here. How many do you have in the pool for this year's Give Jefferson campaign? And just a tiny bit about the metric of how you vet out or in those participants.
This year, we have 34 participating nonprofit organizations. Now, to be a good fit for Give Jefferson, you need to be serving basic human needs. Some of the organizations participating aren't a basic human needs organization, but they have a basic human needs program, maybe a work training program, for example, or an education program. And then that program can be funded. Other organizations serve more than one county, and the funding from Give Jefferson must stay in Jefferson County. But by and large, these are unrestricted grants to people doing excellent basic human needs work in Jefferson County. So the role of the community outreach team in reviewing these applications is really just to do due diligence. By and large, most folks that apply to participate in Give Jefferson, as long as they are a 501c3 or fiscally sponsored, have demonstrated that they can do what they're doing or they have the potential to meet their mission, those organizations are accepted into the Give Jefferson campaign. This is a little different than other grants because there's this community fundraising effort. So it's a really long process compared to other grants because you're invited to participate and approved to participate. And then we do the work with the participation and the wonderful support of the organizations that are involved, getting the word out and getting you all to go to www.givejefferson.org to make contributions to the general fund or to direct those donations to different specific organizations.
I thought that was really very important to hear that it's possible that if you are serving more than one county, that does become a limiter. That is a unique component of this too. When does this campaign distribute its funds? So we're at the beginning of a campaign. It's time to start opening up those wallets, but how long does this campaign continue and when are the funds distributed?
Campaign runs from November 11th through December 31st. So the campaign closes at the end of the year. And pretty much as soon as we get back into the office after New Year's, we're looking at the campaign total and we're taking the funds. Donors can choose to direct funds to a specific organization, or you can give to the general fund. Giving to the general fund is a great way to donate. It takes sort of the guesswork out of where the need is. The community outreach team and the steering committee of United Good Neighbors will help take the general fund and apply it to most all of the organizations, get an additional boost beyond what has been directed towards those organizations.
Jen, that is another really important point because, you know, if you go to givejefferson.org's website, you see this incredible website that really breaks down the basic needs into categories. And listeners, you have the opportunity to see a snapshot of what they do. And it really is lovely. And you see the dollar amount. But I didn't realize until you just said that maybe I have some favoritism towards music or a particular need. But if I put it into the button that says UGN, those reviewers will say, hey, let me rebalance this portfolio, if you will. Hold that thought. I think we're going to dive into one of those basic needs, but I would like to share with our listeners, if you didn't get to join us at the front end, this is Missy Nielsen at Everybody Can, and we are talking to Jen Kingfisher and Heather Dudley Nolet, folks involved with Give Jefferson, and it's a fabulous campaign. Now, listening to this episode, you can pick up on the gaps by going to kpdz.org. So, joining us also, Jen, you brought one of those recipients. And balancing out the portfolio, I can't imagine this one is the most basic need. Heather, you as a community development director for Bayside Housing, is a unique organization that is, golly, they don't quite fit in the homeless category. It is a niche that shouldn't be a niche because so many people do fall into and have fallen into this category at maybe different seasons in their life. Could you just introduce a little bit more about Bayside Housing in general and then a little bit more about how this could be impacted by Give Jefferson?
Be happy to. Thank you, Missy. And I just want to start by saying thank you so much to Jefferson Community Foundation and United Good Neighbors for running this campaign year after year after year and really keeping the focus of these dollars, both on the services that you're talking about, these basic human needs, and also those basic human needs that are clearly in need of support right here at home in Jefferson County. So thanks so much for all the work you all do. And we're very proud to be a part of it. So from Bayside Housing and Services, Bayside has participated in this campaign for a few years now, and we've been around for 6 years and opened in 2016, started as a transitional supportive housing organization. Really just started with 6 rooms at the Bayside Tower there at the old alcohol plant, bringing people out of the homeless condition right into transitional housing on a month-to-month basis and working to get them into a permanent placement of some kind. It was fairly quickly after that, within 12 to 18 months or thereabout, that the folks that were running Bayside Housing and Services really saw the need for direct care, directly working with our participants to meet them where they are and develop all the skills and tools that they needed in order to be able to thrive in permanent housing. And that's where the supportive element comes from. We hire case managers to work with each and every one of our program participants, individuals, and families, and help them to move into permanent housing as quickly as possible, but not too quickly. We move them when they're ready. And so that's where we've been for the last 6 years and really excited to move into some new programs, which I'll tell you about, I'm sure, throughout.
So it's just not housing. It really is setting them up for success. And what kind of folks are staying in your housing? And then isn't there a component of employment on the property too?
There is. And this is so important for all of us to understand. It's important to understand how it's changing too over time. So 6 years ago when Bayside first started, it was primarily elders that we were serving, primarily folks that had been in the homeless condition for maybe some time, literally living on the beach or in the forest or in a tent, and typically elders, mostly elder women at that time, which is maybe not the vision that we all have. Fortunately or unfortunately, we now have almost 25, or actually ranging between 24 and 27% this year, children in our program. That's not a great thing in the long run, but it's good that we're able to serve them. That's partly because we were able to receive some dollars from Jefferson County to convert some of our rooms into what we call family rooms. We have 4 of those, and we're serving actually 8 or 9 families at a time right now in some of our smaller rooms as well. So that's important to know. We're starting to really serve a lot more younger families. And we have a real variety. We have several veterans. We have still a good portion, about 17-18%, over 65, still pretty high percentage. Lots of families. We have folks that are working. Our Pat's Place Tiny Shelter Village there in Port Townsend, which opened the beginning of this year, is pretty focused on people who do have some form of income, typically a job, and getting them closer to that work environment. So we can help them step toward permanency and more security in their housing while meeting their basic needs.
It's so true. You are not only a basic need, but you're going beyond that. And you are one of those grant recipients, and you've got an unfunded amount of $10,000 as part of your ask. What is so cool to see for those who are listening, when you go to the Give Jefferson website, you've got this opportunity not only to put a donation amount, but you can do it in the memory of, and then there's a space called additional notes. And Jen, in my mind's eye, I'm imagining, I'm so moved by what Heather has said, I'm going to write a note that says, "Can I come and help?" Is that indeed possible that information would make it all the way back to Heather? Or what is that additional note about?
Absolutely. Every bit of those additional notes cross our desk and we get to pass those on. So when you give through Give Jefferson, whether it is on the website through Workplace Giving or through the brochure, you're going to direct a donation to a specific organization and you didn't check anonymous, then we send any of that information over to the folks at the basic needs organizations like the folks at Bayside. So giving on Give Jefferson allows you that opportunity to pass on that stuff and find out more about the organizations that serve our friends and neighbors in Jefferson County.
And Heather, in the last couple of minutes, let's get your information out there in terms of contact.
I am happy to be reached by anyone in our community at heather@baysidehousing.org. Or by phone, you can reach our main line at 360-385-4637.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk about this fantastic opportunity to give locally, to give deep, give in a very targeted way to a very, very important set of needs. Jen, thanks again for coming today. And Heather, I think we'll be talking more in the future.
Thanks, Missy. I
look forward to it.
This is Missy Nielsen, host of Everybody Can. I thank you for taking the time to listen to our program today. It is our hope that in sharing these stories, we have uplifted and encouraged you to find your own path to belonging, perhaps explore a new skill set, or simply impact the life of another, changing the arc of their potential and maybe yours. I couldn't do this program without the masterful assistance of our production coordinator and sound engineer, Nora Petrich, who is also a fabulous volunteer. Now, while I have your ear, we want to hear about those unsung heroes you've may run across, you know, the ones who really want to be behind the scenes, those micro moments of kindness, the building blocks of our caring community. We're looking for those stories. Send me an email at everybodycan@kpdz.org. Now go out, get involved, find an opportunity to share a micro moment of kindness, and check out this website, Give Jefferson. You will impact lives.